Good morning. It is good to be here with you today. Why don't we pray and then we will get to work. Dear God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. You are so very good. And there's nothing like the table, the supper, to remind us of how good you are. We thank you, God. So now as we listen to your word and read what you have written, I pray, God, that you would open our hearts and you would remind us that what you ask of us is not because you want from us, but rather you are good to us and you want for us and you know what is best for us. And I pray that you would give us submissive hearts as we read your word to obey and to love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today is a special day. I was going to wear the t-shirt, but I never wear t-shirts up here, so I thought I would continue that little tradition. We're celebrating downtown 15 years of that ministry of that church plant, which 15 years, it's like, wow, I can't conceive of that. It seems like it's flown by. So we have these bright orange t-shirts printed up, and I was going to wear mine today, but I thought, it'll keep everybody awake, but it might not be morning church appropriate. So we're getting ready to celebrate that tonight, and that's what the service is going to be built around. That's what we're going to be talking about. And as I've been getting ready for tonight, I've just thinking about the story of like how everything started and the Bible study that became a little Sunday morning, you know, four person sitting around in a circle. Those are really, you know, uncomfortable gatherings. You know, you try to do church with four people and it seems oddly formal and informal, and then that grew and rented a little house, and then we started meeting in the community center downtown, and just all the different pieces, and not just that, those are the logistics, but the people that have come in. My wife put together this, like, it turned out it was going to be a photo album. It turned out to be four photo albums, like with 1,300 pictures, and those were hand chosen out of all the different pictures, because there's been so many things, so many people, weddings, and just the number of baptisms that have happened here in this baptistry alone. There's so many people that have gone through it and seen how God has worked in everybody's lives. It's been incredible. It's been touching. It's filled me mostly with gratitude because, and this is something that I think that we can and should all share, is if God is working in you, if God is working in me, and if God is going to work through you and I to touch other people, isn't that the biggest, most exciting privilege in the world? Isn't that the most incredible thing that the God of the universe would come down and choose to do something in you and draw you to him and then use you and your words and your life to help other people know him? That's incredible. We are so blessed and so privileged. And on the heels of that feeling and that thankfulness is also kind of a question. Well, not kind of a question. Why would I say kind of? It is a question. Why do we do this? Why do we do, you know, what we do downtown? Or why do we do this every week? Why not just this meeting, but this is a community? Why is there a church and why is there property and why is there a name and people who are members of the? Why do we do this? And the answer to that is, it kind of stumbled on, well, this is one of the, as I started getting, answering that question, because that's what I want to answer tonight for the people down there, and I think that's also relevant, the answer is going to be relevant for us here this morning as well. As I started thinking about, okay, what's the answer to that question? Why do we do this? Why would we do this? Why would we say we've been doing, not just, you know, we, but everybody who's been involved, we have been doing this for 15 years, and that's something to celebrate. Why would we do that? Why do we do this? Why are there pictures on the wall back there of this building going up and people standing in front, and you look at a picture and say, wow, I looked young. I look very different than. Why would we celebrate that? Why do we do this and celebrate this? And kind of sideways, I got into, well, the answer to that question is actually one of the big two themes that at least I see in the Bible, one of the two biggest, most important things that if you said you have two opportunities to talk to us, you can talk to us twice, this week and next week. After that, you're terminal, you're going to die, or we're going to replace you, whatever. You got two more times. This is what you get to talk about, This is one of them. This is one of the answer to that question, why do we do this, is one of those big, two big things that I would say, I got to tell you this. Give me 2 weeks. Give me 2 weeks before you run me out. I got to tell you this and one other thing. And so if you want to know what that other thing is, come back next week. We'll do the second one. But the answer to this question, why do we do this, it's one of the big ones. It's, at least to me, why do we do this? Because it's, and that's a relevant question because, like tonight, I don't know where you're at, but I know tonight I'm going to be talking to people who are people have invited who don't go to church normally. I'm hoping, we're praying that there's a lot of people who don't normally go to church. And so I know they're going to be sitting there going, okay, so we sing and then you're going to talk and I got to get through that and then we're going to have a dinner afterwards. Okay, that's, I get that, but why would you do that? What kind of person, because don't we kind of, isn't it easy to look at religion and Christianity as it kind of just turns into one more meeting that I have to go to every week, which then turns into just like this spiritual obligation, this thing I have to check off my list. Did I go this week? I didn't go this week. Oh, I saw somebody from there. They probably went, so I probably should say sorry for not going. And you know, that whole dynamic of you got to check that off the list. That's what this is for. It's a thing I got to do. I got to take care of. I got to check it off. Why do I do that? Well, I know I need to stay awake for an hour. It becomes something we do just out of routine, and then it kind of just becomes almost like a boring kind of routine where it's like I go to church every week, and I know what's going to happen. It's the same thing as last week. And, oh, we sang more of a, you know, hymnier song this week, or we sang more of a youth camp chorusy song this week. That's different, but it didn't really wake me up. It wasn't that. It's kind of just a boring routine. It can be. So why would we do that? And then that easily becomes, this easily becomes about what do I get out of it? Well, how good are the programs for my kids? How interesting is the guy who speaks up front? Is the music that I like, that I'm used to? What kind of people are there? Are they nice to me? Do they treat me well? What do I get out of this? And I'm not sure I really like what I'm getting from this one, so I'm going to look for a different one that might be a better one, and then I go to a different one, and what am I getting out of it? Why do we do this? What is the reason behind all of this? Well, there's a huge reason behind why we do this. And by looking at that today, here's what I want to have happen. I want us to be, once again, inspired. It's not going to be new. I don't think anybody's going to walk out of here today and say, I didn't know that. But I want to remind us of why we do this. And I want us to be inspired to be part of this and to give ourselves to something that's so much bigger than ourselves. The reason we do this is because we exist as a people and individually, if we're following Jesus, we exist to help other people find life in Christ. That's the purpose behind it. It's not a place where I have to go. It's not a thing I have to do. It's not the hour that I have to prop toothpicks in my eyelids to stay awake for. It's not that religious commitment that I have to check off my list and, you know, go at least a certain number of times a month. It's not the place where I go because I like the people there and I think they like me and so I fit in and they give me what I need. No, the reason we exist individually and collectively is to help other people who are far from God find life in Christ. That's the purpose of being a Christian. That's the purpose of the Christian life. That's the purpose of the Christian community. It's not to be an organization that does things. It's to be an organization that is on Jesus' mission. Why do I say that? Look at Matthew 28. And if you've been with us for any length of time, you'll say, oh, I know this one. That's good. This is one we should know. This is one we keep going back to. This isn't new information, but it's a good reminder. I need this reminder. Why do we do this week after week? Well, not just this, but as Christians, our Christian life and everything we do as Christians. In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came to them and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations," that's followers of me, "baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe," or maybe a better translation would be obey, "all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Those were the marching orders that Jesus gave his followers. That's what Jesus said his followers were supposed to be about. That's what he said to do. Everything else, the buildings, the meetings, as important as everything else that we do is, it's ancillary to that. That is the thing. That's what we're supposed to be about. We're supposed to be people, followers of Jesus, who make other followers. That's why we exist. We exist to help people who are far from God find life in Christ. That's what our purpose is. That's not the purpose of the guy up front with the microphone and the Bible on Sundays. That's not the purpose of the elders or the leaders. That's not the purpose of that family who's kind of pretty radically committed to the church. They're kind of the family you associate with that church. That's not the purpose of that's the purpose of every Christ follower. That's the purpose of everybody who says, I'm a Christian. That's why we exist, to find people far, help people far from God find life in Christ. Look at the first part of that. Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make followers or disciples of all nations. He's talking about going to people who are far from God. He's saying, go to the people who are far from God, people who are made in God's image, people who have lived and are living in rebellion against God, people who haven't made the decision to follow him, people who in this moment are destined for an eternity of wrath far from God. Go to those people. Go to those people and then help those people learn how to follow me. Make disciples, make followers. Help them learn how to follow me. How do we do that? Well, it's through your life. Help those people learn how to follow me. For the way you live, by them watching you, whether it's your children watching how you live, or the person who works next to you, or the person who lives across the street from you, by watching how you live, they're supposed to say, okay, I see how that person lives, so now that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. But it's not just by watching how we live, it's also by our words. We make followers of Jesus by speaking, by explaining the gospel to people who are far from God, but by offering to study the Bible with them, by opening the Bible and reading the Bible and teaching someone who doesn't know what the numbers mean, how to figure this out, and then how to listen to God in his word. And when we say things like, what's keeping you from making your decision to follow Jesus, to repent and be baptized and give yourself to him, that's how we help people become disciples of Jesus. And then it says in the middle of that, go and make disciples or followers of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What is that about? It's bring them to that moment where they say, I'm all in. I'm surrendering to God. I'm giving myself to Jesus. I'm repenting and being baptized. I'm entering into this new family. I'm giving myself to him, and I'm going to be his follower as well. I've seen you follow him. I've heard you explain what it means to follow him and why I should do that. And now I'm deciding I'm going to be a follower of Jesus like you. I'm going to repent and be baptized. Bring them to that moment. It's something that a long time ago we had. Oh, I don't remember when it was, but I was looking into baptism videos, and all of a sudden, there was a time when, early on, when I stopped baptizing everybody, and all of a sudden, there were other people baptizing. A lot of times, there were ladies baptizing ladies, and I remember the first time, I think my wife studied with somebody, and we were talking with, we were deciding, okay, is she going to baptize the person, or do I? I was like, I want you to baptize the person, because you studied with her, you discipled her, you're it's the Great Commission, you helped her decide to be a follower of Jesus, and now she's making that decision, so you baptize her. And I was like, yeah, but can a lady do that? And so we looked in the Bible, and I was like, well, she's another lady, and you're a lady, so I think that's okay. And it was at 56 and Vine that we were using their baptism all the time. So when we were decided, we were fine with it doctrinally. We called the person there who was kind of our liaison. I don't remember who it was. Somebody there. Is it okay if a lady baptizes somebody in your baptismal, that the water thing in your room? Yeah, that. And they said, yeah, that's okay. And so my wife baptized her. From that point on, it just opened up to where was if you studied with the person, I want you to be the one baptizing them. And then my wife came up with like a little phrase, and it might sound better in Spanish than in English, but I'll try it in English. Oh, no, it does sound better in English. It's the Great Commission is for everybody. And part of the Great Commission is baptizing people. So why is, like, the guy in front with the Bible and the microphone the only one who baptizes? You should study with somebody, and you should baptize them, and then you should, well, that's the next part. After they make that decision, you should walk alongside of them. I should walk alongside of that person that I study with, that I baptize, and now I should walk alongside that person and live life with them and help them observe or obey everything that Jesus commanded them. Learn how to live as a Christ follower as they go through the next months and years of their life. We're supposed to fulfill that great commission. It's for everybody. That's what it means. And so that's why we do church. That's why we are a congregation. That's why we exist as an entity. It's to fulfill that great commission. And if you rightfully say, after I say all of that about the great commission is for individuals, well, isn't that an individual thing? Couldn't I fulfill the great commission, like, by myself at home? You could, but we're supposed to be a community on mission. Everything you see in the rest of the New Testament is a community of Christ followers together, individually together, fulfilling this great commission. Yeah, you're supposed to do it individually. If I'm a Christian and I'm not praying for a non-Christian and friends with a non-Christian, trying to study with a non-Christian and baptizing somebody and then following on with that person and helping them learn how to, you know, my son just was baptized, so I'm supposed to walk with him now and help him learn how to grow up and go through adolescence, you know, as a Christian, and I'm supposed to disciple him as he goes through that. If you and I aren't individually doing that at some point in that process, then we're not fulfilling the Great Commission individually, but we're supposed to do that together as a body. We're supposed to do that as a community. We're supposed to be a community together on that mission. This is where we're supposed to come to be equipped. This time right now, this is kind of a motivational time for us as Christians to come together and say, oh yeah, that's why I exist. This is why I'm doing this. And then go out into the world and live that out individually and together. This is where we're supposed to come to find resources. Hey, if somebody I'm going to study with, how did you study with that other guy at work that you were studying with? I'm going to study with someone who's a Muslim. I know you said we're talking with someone. This Jehovah's person who was studied with by the Jehovah's Witness, they want to study the Bible, so what are the things I need to know as I'm talking to that person? And we're supposed to equip each other and on that mission, not just learn for knowledge's sake. We're not supposed to become people who come here just to get smarter and smarter about the Bible. We're supposed to be training each other and equipping each other to fulfill the Great Commission. That's the purpose of this. That's why we exist together. And this is supposed to be a place where we invite people to. That's not the only way we fulfill the Great Commission, but a part of that, it's come and see the community. Come and be part of. I'm not just inviting you to this. I'm inviting you to this. If you're going to be part of God's family, you're part of God's family. So come with me on Sunday. Come to a study that we're having in my friend's house, and come and learn and investigate. It's supposed to be a place where people could come and investigate and listen and kind of figure out, is this for me, as your God? Guiding them through the process as they're seeking and trying to figure out if they're going to become a Christian, if they want to be a follower of Christ. We're supposed to be followers who make other followers, and we're supposed to do that together. We're supposed to be a community of people who give themselves to that. So let's be that community. Let's continue being that community. This isn't something I've been around y'all long enough to know. This isn't like a new thing where it's like, oh, we should do that. No, this is something that you do. This is something that marks this community. This is something that is part of this community. But let's be reminded of that and be inspired even more to say that's what we're going to be about. That's right. We're supposed to be about people on the outside. I'm supposed to be more concerned about my friendships with people who are non-Christians than my friendships with people who are Christians. My friendships with people who are Christians are supposed to support that, and we're going to be united on mission together, but I'm going to focus on people who are far from God. Something I love here is when someone visits, the way that they get swarmed. Have you noticed that? No one here, I haven't seen anybody visit here and not be taken care of. Not have people around them the whole time. Not in a weird way, but just they're treated like family. They're received. That's good. That's the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to focus more on the people who are coming from the outside than those of us who are already on the inside. That's the kind of community we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be a community who reminds each other of this. Says, hey, how are you on mission? How are you fulfilling the Great Commission? How can I help you fulfill the Great Commission in your life? That's what we're supposed to do, to call each other to that. We need to be a community that's never content. We have a wonderful building and a good family and good community. There's a sense in here. You know, you just feel when you walk into a church, it's like, oh, that's an uncomfortable environment. This is a comfortable environment. You could tell people kind of get along here and like each other. It's a good place to be. We should never be content because we are surrounded with so many people who are far from God. We should never be content, and we should help each other not be content and say, I'm thankful for what God has done and is doing in us, but there are so many people far from God right around us. So what should we do individually? I think the big application, if we're supposed to be, based on what Jesus said, people who exist so that people far from God can find life in Christ, if that's what we're supposed to be, then individually, we should be an active part of this community. We should be on mission together. And for you, if you aren't a Christian yet, if you've never made the decision to follow Jesus, if you haven't given yourself to Him, and you're one of those people, you've been kind of investigating and looking in from the outside and saying, do I want to follow Jesus or not? What that looks like for you is to make the decision to follow Jesus, to be a Christ follower, to say, I'm going to repent and be baptized and make Jesus the Lord, like Mike said at the table, the boss of my life. He's going to be the one who tells me what to do. I'll be one of those people who says, I exist so that other people can find life in Christ because I found life in Christ. But until you have given yourself to Jesus, you can't take people where you haven't gotten to yet, where you haven't arrived at yet. So until you find life in Christ, you can't help other people find life in Christ. So when you're ready to say, okay, I'm going to cross the line, I'm going to give myself to Christ, tell someone, you can repent, you can be baptized. If you're part of this community already, then today is just a reminder for us, isn't it? It's just, okay, this is what it's about. It's not about how comfortable I am. The temperature was off by a couple degrees last Sunday. I sweated a little bit during the sermon. Sermon ran a little long, ran a little short. I never get that complaint. The sermon ran. Do we have to sing all those camp songs when Ben leads singing? Is that? That's not what this is. I love the camps. That's not what this is about. This isn't about me being perfectly comfortable and taken care of. I don't have any friends at church. No one likes me. That's not what it's about. Be on mission with your brothers and sisters, and you'll have plenty of friendships when you're all on mission together. That's what it's about. So give yourself to that. Participate on Sundays. Be part of that. Find community within the week where you can spend time with the family during the week, with your extended family. Not with everybody, but there's three or four or five other people that you can be closer to, and that's your kind of little smaller family within the bigger family. Be part of that. And then as you're part of this, seek to fulfill the Great Commission individually in your life, because that's why you exist. That's why I exist. Have friendships with non-Christians and always be looking to study with someone who isn't a Christian. Who are the people God's put in your life? I love asking that question because then I think it's like, oh yeah, that person. I should be praying for that person. They said no to studying, but I could pray for them. I can ask God to do something in them. They can't stop me from doing that. Who's that person that you say, you know, I should study with? I should ask that person if they'd be willing to study. Who's the person that maybe is a Christian that you've seen and maybe they're even in your own household, and you say, I need to read the Bible with them more. I need to sit down and study and guide them, to help them to learn, to observe everything that Jesus commanded. I need to help disciple that person. Who are the people God's put in your life? Because you know what? I can't disciple those people. I'm not supposed to guide those people to Jesus. Neither is the person who's sitting behind you or in front of you. You are. That's why God put them in my life and in your life. So who are the people that God has put in your life, and how can you guide them to Him? If we exist so that people far from God can find life in Christ, what do you need to do to better fulfill that purpose that Jesus has given you and I? That's a question for me. It's a question for you. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together, and then we'll sing. God, we come to you and we thank you because you've called us to yourself, but you've not just called us to yourself, you've called us to your family. And you've not just called us to your family, you've called us to a purpose. And you've given us the incredible privilege of being able to help other people find you. For those of us that have come to you and surrendered to you, we know how incredible that is. And then to be able to give that gift to someone else is so incredible. So God, we ask that you would fill us with a sense of thankfulness and awe that we can be part of that with you. And then God, give us very practical ways. Guide us through your Spirit, we ask you. Give us very practical ways that we can guide other people and talk to other people and be friends with people far from you and pray for them and study with them and walk them towards a relationship with you. Help us be used by you individually and together as a community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.